dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Matt Combs.
Hello, SVC fans. This is Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. Welcome you to another episode of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. Encourage you to get out to see that great facility just off Bridge Street there in Chillicothe. Triple Crown doing a lot of things. You'll definitely want to get out there and check that out. Great show for you this week. We welcome a new sponsor while obviously continuing to show our appreciation for our ongoing sponsors. We need to congratulate a volleyball champion, run for gold, as well as the postseason in football. Pair of SVC teams at the state level. One count even flirting with a state title. SVC cross country champions to congratulate, and even some soccer. And on that note, Matt, I welcome you into the show. And fans, if you don't know, my brother Matt joins me all the way through the fall as well as the spring in our podcast shows. And Matt, as I welcome you to the show, just wanted to get your thoughts on the week that was and the week that will be here in the Cider Valley Conference.
Well, it's an exciting time, obviously. You mentioned some tournaments that have been underway or getting underway, and obviously the stretch run here in football the last couple weeks. And it just seems like the nice thing about the SVC is whenever, no matter what tournament you're talking about or whatever the case may be, there's always a team kind of making a run or giving us somebody to cover. So it's certainly an exciting time. I know we got a lot to talk about tonight, and we always have that. Plus, you know, our fans or our listeners, they give us a lot of feedback on the show and throw some questions at us that we'll try to answer. So we're looking forward to the show.
No question, Matt. We do have a lot of great stuff to talk about this week, so let's get right to it. First, we start with volleyball, where we needed 10 sets to figure it all out this past Thursday night.
If you're an iPhone, iPad, or iPod user, you can use Apple's iTunes to subscribe to our podcast. Just search SVC Sports Talk on iTunes and hit the subscribe button.
Fans, this past Thursday night, I was just thoroughly entertained. We had it all set up for a great finish to the volleyball league. You had two sites of importance, one over at Huntington High School, one at Edina. You had Westfall visiting Huntington with Zane Trace going over to Frankfort. And the scenario was simple. Zane Trace needed a win to control their own destiny and take the outright title. Westfall needed a win and a Zane Trace loss so that they could share the title. So basically what happened was Westfall Huntington, they started probably about 15 minutes ahead of Zane Trace Edina as I had my headphones there. I was sitting over at Huntington watching Westfall Huntington with my headphones on, listening to Mike and KKJ. They're giving the great calls they always do. And you know, as the night unfolded, Westfall and Zane Trace both fall behind in the match, down 2-1, and they both tied up at 2-2. But keep in mind that when Westfall had tied it up 2-2, they were slightly ahead in terms of time-wise, so the excitement started to build in the gym because you had Edina up at 2-1 over in Frankfort. So basically what happens, you eventually get both matches tied 2-2, and then in the fifth set, Huntington goes up. Huntington even is serving match point, but Westfall finds a way to come all the way back, 16-14 winners, and just an amazing fifth set. So then you basically have Westfall doing their part, and then you see the radios and the phones and the different things going all over the gym as Zane Trace Edina starting their fifth set, and then Zane Trace kind of rolls 15-7. I had a chance to listen to the fifth set of Zane Trace and Edina with Westfall head coach Lisa Lytle over at Huntington. After the ZT Edina match, obviously Coach Lytle had mixed emotions, but she was very classy in joining us just seconds after Zane Trace's championship point.
Coach, obviously we just listened as Zane Trace pulls it out on the fifth set. I mean, obviously disappointed not to get a share of the title, but on the positive note, to come in here and not know going into the evening, and your kids to show up and play the way they did in this atmosphere, has to be something you feel good about going in the tournament.
Yeah, first off, you know, just hats off to the Pioneers on such a successful season. And, you know, we came in knowing what we needed to do to put ourselves there, and, you know, and hats off to our girls, because, you know, there were ups and downs during this game, and, you know, they came back, kept fighting, you know, got down a lot the first game, came back and won it, and then turned it around game four and game five, and, you know, and did what we needed to do to get that win. So
a couple things I wanted to get your comment on. One, I thought early your server Steve kind of struggled, and as the night went on, that showed up a little bit. And then the second thing, coming into a match like this, obviously Cobb and Kello get a lot of attention, but oftentimes, like it did tonight, it always comes down to some role players and different things. Talk to me a little bit about some of the role kids really stepping up for you.
You know what? The serve receive was a little bit off tonight, and we've been so used to it being, you know, dead on and really carrying us and giving us so many options. So when that was a little bit off, we, you know, we're looking at our setter to, you know, pick it up and put the ball so we would have three options. You know, we've been talking about bettering the ball and making sure that we have three options to swing every time. That way we're not giving the other team any insight to, you know, they only have two hitters or the one stuck in transition, so it's either going to go here or here. You know, we don't want to make the play any easier for our opponent. So I thought we did a really good job mixing it up with our hitters, and you know what, Olivia Cobb just, you know, swung and swung and swung again. We talked a lot yesterday about making sure that we get swings and we're not tipping the ball, and, you know, I thought they did really good at listening to that. So,
last question. Moving forward, how can you take a match like this and when you sit down with your kids here over the next week and build on this for the tournament?
You know, interesting you say that, because I thought the difference tonight in our losses was the games that we lost were the ones that we weren't quite able to have the momentum on our side, and no one wanted to do anything about it. It was just kind of, you know, the looks were kind of just straight on their faces, and it just, no one wanted to rise above. It was just, everybody was just okay just with the, you know, just the, you know, mediocre playing that was going on, and no one wanted to step up and take the ball in their own hands. And that's, you know, that's really the reason why I think that we got those losses. You know, hats off to Huntington. They were hitting at us. They were hitting at us, you know, nonstop. Mm-hmm. But we have to take our strength and put the ball down. And with the hitters that we have, there's no reason why we shouldn't be swinging more often than not.
Congrats on a great season. Best luck in the tournament.
Thank you so much.
Again, that's Coach Lytle. So nice of her to join us there right after an emotional night. I tell you what, fans, you really need to go to the doctor, Chris Good. That's the Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC Volleyball Scoreboard. Just a phenomenal night of volleyball. Look back at some stats there. The Good Health Chiropractic Center is located 231 East 2nd Street, Chillicothe, Ohio. You can call 773-GOOD. For an appointment. And if you go to that scoreboard, you look, what an incredible night. I know on the Huntington side, Ingram and Kello just putting up ridiculous stats over the last all 2 weeks of the season. Kello, after having 37 kills recently, had 41 as she breaks her own school record. Ingram, who had 51 assists, had 58 in that match. You had, obviously, Cobb, just phenomenal, as you heard Coach Lytle talk about. And then Lytle and Tackett, Elena Lytle and Kayla Tackett, back row. And I should probably mention Link and Long, Link from Westfall, Long from Huntington as well on that. Just the back rows just played tremendous. You got to understand, you've got Kello and Cobb just sending rockets both ways all night long. And the back row players were digging in there and doing their best to get some back up for their team to go on the attack. And just a great night of volleyball. And again, on the radio, just to hear Dawson distributing out for the Adina offense. Kennedy really got it going. Grigsby defensively. And Skaggs had a big night. You know, Skaggs was a kid on my radar early in the year, and I think she was asked to take on some different responsibilities. Maybe didn't quite get off to the start in terms of her net play that I thought she would. But, man, she's been tremendous over the last week. So I'm sure Coach Smith at Adina has to be excited about that going into tournament. And then Zane Trace, obviously, with Carl Spetnagel and Strahlsball at the kills and the digs, and sounded like Chafin really added some things. And then, of course, Pontius and Tillis there as the setters. Just a really, really exciting night. You'll definitely want to go and take a look at that. You know, Matt, there's a couple things I wanted to touch on here. As we welcome a new sponsor, Valero, they're our official sponsor of SVC standings. And I should let fans know that Valero has six locations. You have the Valero South Paint Express, the Kingston Valero, Southeastern Valero, Bourneville Valero, which I think I keep them in business myself daily on the way to work and back, Valero on Western, and Valero on Bridge. So again, excited to have them on board. Really can't go to any stop in the SVC without making Valero part of your evening. But Matt, you know, we've talked about Zane Trace all year long in terms of their chemistry and some of the things that impressed you. And I really wanted to touch on one thing before I turn it over to you and get your final thoughts on this Zane Trace team. I was listening to the radio, as I said, and I was listening to the interviews afterwards. And we've given the credit all year long to so many of the really good players for Zane Trace. But I heard some of the role players talking on the radio. Allie Fletchner, for example, she's a sophomore. She plays JV. Her comment was, it's an honor to be on the team. I love this team. The group of girls, this coaching staff, amazing. I heard Tori Edler use the term family. Strahlsball's emotion was incredible. She plays with such passion. You could almost hear it in her interview to where the moment meant so much to her. I wanted to get your take. When you look at a roster from the top to the bottom, how incredible is it when the chemistry all comes together, and just how hard is it to get that special chemistry in a championship team?
Well, I know from a coaching standpoint, it's difficult to achieve that. When you do achieve it, it's pretty special because it makes for a fun year, especially when you're able, like in Zane Trace's case, to top it off with a championship. But it's really something that's sort of rare. I mean, you don't always get it, especially in today's day and age where we live in kind of a me society and people kind of look out for number one, and to get a group of teenagers to kind of look out for each other, that's really a special thing. And I think credit's got to be given to Coach Merriman as well, because I think coaches have to cultivate that, you know, chemistry and that culture, so to speak, you know, for their team to be able to do that. But ultimately, the credit goes to the kids for buying in and supporting each other. So, and you know, you look at this volleyball league with the parity. We talked about it. Went into the last week of the season, last night of the season, with some things still, you know, up for grabs. And when you have a league like that, it comes down to the little things like, you know, chemistry. And maybe Zane Trace just had a little edge in that, and that's what carried them over the top.
Matt, I also, on the same lines of Zane Trace and some of their chemistry issues, I wanted to point some attention to SVC fans to the website. I've released my all-SVC volleyball team. It's the svcsportszone.com all-SVC volleyball team that I do each year. It's completely my opinion. Has nothing to do with the coaches and things like that. And I've had several emails coming back, and I'm doing my best to always answer all of those. If I haven't gotten back to you, I apologize. I promise I will. Just as time goes, I'll definitely get those out. But I use the term intangibles with Haley Carl, and I was talking about coachability, and I was talking about leadership and attitude and those things. Matt, you and I have talked about this in the past, and I've always been intrigued with your I think you've used the analogy of sometimes great players can hold high school coaches hostage. I wanted you to let the SVC fans know, when you have a best player that's your hardest worker, best attitude, what does that mean to you as a coach and to your program? And maybe kind of touch on what you meant by that when you had mentioned that to me before.
Well, what I mean by that is, if you have a really good player, his or her attitude can make things a lot easier or a lot harder on you as a coach. I mean, if a player has the attitude of, well, you know, I know I'm good enough to play, I can take some nights off, I don't really have to be there in the summertime or any whatever the off season may be, I guess, you know, and as a coach, I put you in a tough spot, because at the end of the day, that person is probably talented enough to get on the court for you or the field for you or whatever the case may be, but it certainly doesn't send a real good message to everybody else. And as a coach, it sort of undermines maybe what you're trying to, the culture you're trying to develop, you know, in your locker room. Vice versa, though, when your best player is your hardest worker, it makes life a lot easier, you know, because when that person comes to practice every day and they're the first one there, the last one to leave, or they're giving 110% on every play, not taking plays off, you know, that adds to your team chemistry, because if you're a role player, you're looking at that person saying, man, if they have to, if they're going this hard, I have to go this hard, sure. You know, because they could take a playoff. Those kids know deep in their minds that that person could take a playoff and they're not, so I can't either. Interesting story, not to take too long, but
go ahead.
I was reading a book by Dean Smith one time, and he was talking about how they had a system at North Carolina where if you made certain plays in practice or games or whatever, there was like a point system, and the managers would tally these points and keep track of them. And you could, as a player, you could basically use your accumulated points to buy your way out of some sprints. You know, at the end of practice, you could say, okay, well, I've got this many points, I'm not going to take this sprint. And it was funny because he was talking about this, about your best player being your hardest worker. Michael Jordan, when he played at North Carolina, tallied the most points of anybody Dean Smith had coached, and he never took one sprint off. So every point he accumulated stayed in the bank until he graduated, because he never used them. And I just think it's kind of interesting that, you know, stuff like that's what we're talking about. When your best player takes that kind of attitude, it really adds a lot to the team chemistry.
Absolutely, that's good stuff. The again, fans, if you read that and you have some feedback, agree, disagree with me, admin1@svcsportzone.com, let me know. And again, I promise I'll get back to you. If you're a stats person and you're kind of looking at those to kind of see if you agree with the list, you can go to our Adena Sports Medicine SVC leaders. And again, I should let fans know that Adena Sports Medicine, the official sponsor of SVC stats. Listening to your coach is one thing, listening to your pain is everything. Again, Adena Sports Medicine. Appreciate their support. That's a great page. We've had great participation from our volleyball coaches this year. And when we get that, that obviously makes that a fun page for fans. And you obviously want to check out the Embroid Me schedule. Just because the regular season's over, we have the tournament brackets. I can tell you that the SVC is off to an undefeated start on this Tuesday night as Paint Valley Southeastern Pike and all win first round sectional games. And they'll be in action later in the week. Good chance. We are going to knock each other out a little bit, but a real good chance for five or six SVC teams to head off to the district. So again, Embroid Me schedule, Embroid Me there in Chillicothe, 774-7400 for all your SVC apparel needs. Well, Matt, great volleyball coverage this week. On the other side of the break, we turn our attention to football, and I need to go all the way back to our first show of the season and rethink a comment concerning quarterbacks. Well, Matt, on the football side, our sponsors take care of us just the same. The Valero standings and the Embroid Me schedule and the Adena Sports Medicine stats and obviously the Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC football scoreboard. And when I look at that scoreboard this past week, some interesting stuff. Uniota beats Adena 10-7, had a Gavis 36-yard field goal. We talked earlier in the year about the importance of kicking. That shows up again in a win. Wells, 21 carries, 78 yards for Dean, has been a workhorse all year long. Uniota, yeah, it's a pretty good average per carry still, but Uniota at least holds him in check, keeps him out of the end zone. Big Vanderpool touchdown late in that game. Uniota gets a huge win. Huntington jumped out over Southeastern 34-0. David Shoemaker continues to be a bright spot. We hear so much about Vickers, Dyer, and Cheney. Shoemaker, as a sophomore this late in the year, really starting to become just an overall star in terms of offense, defense, special teams. He gives them another dimension. Gage Hurtless, over 200 total yards and three touchdowns for Southeastern, as they did put some points on the board late, but Huntington rolls there. Westfall given a scare, but they pull away, beat Zane Trace. Zane Trace's defense really solid. They'd actually taken a lead in the third quarter of that game, but Westfall offense rolls eventually just too much as they racked up, I believe it was over 400 yards. And I had a chance to go out to Bainbridge, and Python rolls over Paint Valley. And Matt, I need to go back to the first show of the year. As I was writing some material, we were taking a look at the quarterbacks, and we were talking about Brapson and Vickers, and I was saying the best quarterback not named Williamson. And I tell you this, you can't argue with the year Williamson's had. I mean, obviously Westfall's rolling and they're on their way to week 11 and probably gold unless we get a major upset. But I was just thoroughly impressed with Isaac Brapson the other day. He's coming. This is his second straight 300-yard game. He had one against Uniota. The other night against Paint Valley, he goes over 300, throws four touchdowns, didn't even throw a pass after the third quarter, I believe. They had Paint Valley had scored to cut it to 14-12 at one point, and then at one point Piketon led 48-12, so they just exploded offensively. So, Matt, as you look at the scoreboard in these four matchups, just maybe some of your thoughts and some surprises from week eight.
Well, the thing that kind of jumped out at me was the Uniota-Edina game. I thought that was a really good win for Uniota. Edina's, you know, played better football, I think, of late. You know, early in the year, we talked a lot about Uniota's defense, and then, quite frankly, they got exposed a couple times, albeit versus some pretty good offenses. But at the same time, they had their problems, and then it sounds like they really shored things up, holding Dina to just a touchdown and being able to win the game on that all-important field goal we've went back and forth on a lot this year. So yeah, I thought that really caught my eye. That was a really good win for Uniota, I think.
Well, we do the C&K Athletic Equipment two-minute drill every week during the fall, and the C&K Athletic Equipment's been a sponsor with us in our archives, and they also get involved in our podcast. And throughout the year, we take a few minutes every week to take on some rapid-fire questioning. Other sports will include the fast break in basketball or extra innings in baseball and softball. This week in our two-minute drill, we look at a variety of football questions.
Looking at the current Valero SVC standings for football, Huntington is 3-2 with four other schools at 2-3. Assuming you think Westfall and Piketon will finish in first and second, which SVC team will take the third place spot?
Well, Shane, I think it comes down, in my mind, looking at the schedules of those four teams that you're talking about, I think it comes down to this Huntington-Paint Valley contest, really. That's always a rivalry anyway. Between those two schools, and I really believe the winner of that game will be the team that at least gets third place.
I'm going to go Zane Trace. I can't disagree with what you're saying on the Huntington Paint Valley. I know Paint Valley obviously has two winnable games with Huntington Uniota. I know Huntington has the one game advantage right now, but they have Westfall waiting on them in week 10. I just feel like if Zane Trace can hold serve, if you will, at home this Friday night, they finished the year with Southeastern. So I like Zane Trace to at least be in a share for that spot.
Looking at the team totals of the Edina Sports Medicine SVC leaders, what stat is most intriguing to you and why?
Well, you know, when you look at those, stats can be deceiving, as we know, you know, especially when you start looking at point differential and things, because you know, those things get skewed throughout the year in terms of, you know, maybe who you play in the non-league or how things work out. But the thing that kind of jumped out at me was Paint Valley. You know, we talked about them being in that mix of three or four teams there kind of shooting for a possible third place finish. You know, yet statistically, when you look at them, they've got the second best defense in the league number wise. You know, their top half in offense, their second differential. So, you know, it just goes to show you sometimes statistics don't equate to standings, you know, when you look at those. But that's kind of what jumped out at me.
Sure. You know, Matt, I kind of looked at the differential across the league. You know, oftentimes in football, you know, football kind of plays itself out pretty predictable. You get your 7-0 team, you get your 6-1 team, your 5-2, your 4-3, and so on, and things become predictable. And I tell you, this year just hasn't been that way. I was looking at some of those, and I think the fact, especially 2-7, and really even Westfall hasn't just been blowing people out every week. You're getting some really close finishes, and I think what it's given you is it's given you this Uniota-Edina finish. It's given you a Uniota-Huntington finish, a Paint Valley-Edina finish. I mean, you're talking football games at the high school level coming all the way down to the final drive, and that's exciting. And I don't want to not talk about Southeastern there, but because what I would tell SVC fans is go back and look at last year's stats, which you can do on that same page. And you'll see a similarity between last year's Huntington team and this year's Southeastern. Just something to maybe keep your eye on going into next year.
Looking at the Embrightening schedules, what matchup in the final 2 weeks of regular season play are you most looking forward to and why?
Well, for me, Shane, it's Huntington-Westfall. I think that could be a fun game just from an offensive standpoint. And you have some other storylines there. You know, you have the two programs have a little 6 degrees of separation thing going on there with the different ties to both programs in terms of the coaches and stuff and the systems they run. But more importantly, looking at the, looking at the computer points, if Huntington could somehow pull that upset off, that could actually propel them into a playoff position. You look at the Huntington's max possible points, and I think it's somewhere in the 17s, if I remember correctly, and obviously that would include a win against Westfall, so they would have to pull that upset. But so there's a lot on the line in that game, plus I think it's going to be entertaining.
Matt, I'm going to go to the final 2 weeks of Uniota. I really am intrigued by this Uniota-St. Trace matchup. You're talking two pretty good defenses, two good running games, two good field goal kickers. And I think that game's going to go a long way in terms of what we're talking about in this third place battle. Plus, if Uniota is able to do that, obviously, then the Uniota-Paint Valley matchup in Week 10 becomes really important.
In revisiting a question from earlier this year, how many SVC teams can fans expect to see in Week 11?
Well, you know, when we had this question early on, I predicted one. I thought Westfall would make it, and it looks like, you know, they will. They control their own destiny. I think they're currently in the two spot in the computer points. But I think I'm going to be wrong on that. I think Piketon, I really feel like Piketon's going to slide in there too. Looking at their potential max points, assuming that they take care of business the last 2 weeks, I think that there's a real possibility they get in too, so I'm going to go with two.
I agree with you, Matt, on two. You've mentioned some other ones. We have some long shots, St. Trace and Huntington. Even Uniota has a lot of points out there to be gained. But I think two's the safe bet. And the one that I'll draw the most attention to is Piketon. Like I said, I know I'm high on them because I just watched them in person the other night. But if this is a team that if they could get in the right matchup, they really cause a lot of problems. Now, I notice there's a few teams in the top spots in their region that would probably not be good matchups for them. But there's a couple teams there that I'm looking at. I know Memphis jumped out at me. That's a game they had won earlier this year and just kind of gave it away. So Piketon doesn't get a ton of help on the schedule. They're going to need just a little bit of help maybe to get into the proper spot, but I agree with you. I'd go two. Fans, Matt and I always enjoy hearing from you. We get SEO prep feedback. I know I appreciate those comments on my volleyball team that I posted this week. Had a nice discussion going there. SEO NEK preps is another nice forum to discuss some things. And then, of course, JJ Huddle, who's done a nice job with our podcast and helping us promote this. So, yeah, well, Matt, we are not even close to done. On the other side of the break, we will have an All-Ohio athlete, perfection stopped, and perhaps the most overlooked dynasty program in SVC in recent history.
Never miss an episode. Just go to the DBK Media Services website. To one of our episodes, enter your valid email address in the blank to the left of the subscribe button, and then check your email in a few moments for a validation email containing a confirmation link. Click on it and sit back to wait for an email informing you of our next episode.
SVC cross country fans, you know that there's a big SVC league meet here this past weekend. You'll definitely want to check out the website. Uniota boys, St. Trace girls, as expected, take the title. Have junior high results as well. I tell you, there's a couple interesting races there in junior high. I know in junior high girls, St. Trace's Mackenzie Ray edged out Huntington's Brittany Moore. And then on the boys' side, St. Trace's Kelly Rogers edged out Piketon's Austin Taylor. And it was my understanding that both of those were pretty much photo finishes right there at the end. Of course, high school girls Jesse Prohl and high school boys Ethan Richter of Zane Trace and Unietta respectively leading their respective teams to titles. On the girls' side, we have 14 all-league runners. On the boys' side, 12 all-league runners. And a little bit more on that here in just a second. But, Matt, I wanted to talk to you about Unietta boys here just a second. I wanted to read you some stats here and then get your comments.
Okay.
12 straight SVC championships for Unietta. They have been district championship champions 9 times. They're getting ready to go for 10. 4 regional titles, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2010, and 2 other times they were runner-up. 9 straight trips to the state cross-country meet, the longest active streak in Division II in all of Ohio. So I read all of those things, and maybe we get spoiled and we just say, oh, yeah, Unietta's good again. I guess my question, are we, and we meaning media and fans, not appreciating this program and covering it as much as possibly maybe we should be?
Well, I mean, probably not. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, that's pretty impressive. Very impressive, no matter which way you look at it. I think cross country, I actually teach and coach at a school where we have a good, solid cross country program, an excellent coach. And he and I've talked about this. It's tough sometimes. It's not a fan friendly sport necessarily. Most of the events that you go to, you can't see a lot of them as they're running. Now there are some courses where you can stand on a hill and kind of see everything, but I think sometimes the fans don't get real involved in it. It's one of those sports, and it's like take golf. We love golf, I love golf, you love golf. It's easy for us to get into that, but there's a lot of people that'll say, golf's boring, I'm not going to watch golf. Right. It's kind of the same thing. Cross country is a sport where you kind of got to love it, and you got to be into that, because some people maybe don't understand it or don't pay attention to it, whatever. It's obviously not considered mainstream, so to speak. You don't turn on TV on every Saturday afternoon and catch a cross country meet.
Sure.
But with that being said, I think it's a responsibility of people like us and other media outlets to really talk about what Unietta's done, because that's pretty incredible. You're talking about, a run there that, like you mentioned, isn't just good for this league, it's good statewide. So what they're doing has been more than impressive.
Without question. And Matt, I mentioned earlier on my volleyball team that I released, there's an article that came out just ahead of that I had written, and you can find that on the front page of the website still, as well as on the all-SVC volleyball team that I've put out. And it was talking about the all-league format change that I would like to see in various sports, and I kind of share a formula in there on how I've come up with certain things. Matt, I basically was taking the starters across the league and multiplying it by 8 and then trying to get a fair percentage so that sports are getting a fair percentage of athletes honored. The big concern, as I end the article, I talk about, I know some people can get concerned of watering it down, maybe having too many. I wanted to get your take. You've been a part of so many different votings in different leagues. If you stay under 40%, if you're somewhere in the 30%, do you still feel like you're getting the elite without watering it down? Do you like that percentage?
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that percentage. I don't even know so much about watering it down. I think when you start looking at all league, just because maybe you have some extra honorable mentions or a third team, I don't know that takes anything away from those kids that get player of the year or the first team. I think you've labeled those teams to show that one is considered higher than the other. So I don't totally buy into the watering it down argument to begin with. I do think there probably needs to be consistency across the board in terms of what percentage of players in each sport are honored. But I'll be honest with you. I've been a part of 3 or 4 different leagues. I've seen how, including the SVC, I've seen how these votes go and the system that's in place. And the SVC does it as well as anybody, truthfully, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, across the board. I mean, I'm not afraid to say it. Nobody does it a lot worse than the league I'm in right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, when you have to have an all league meeting for golf, you've got to really question, you know, what you're doing. I mean, you just take the averages. That's who makes all league. You know what I mean? But right. And a lot of leagues will do stuff like ours does, where you win the league, you automatically get three guys. Well, what kind of sense does that make, really? I mean, that doesn't make sense. And we're not the only league that does that. There's other leagues that do it. I'm talking we as in the league I'm in now. The SVC doesn't do it that way. You know, the SVC has a very good system in place, in my opinion, for basketball, especially. I'm not as familiar with the other ones as you are in baseball, and other people could be in football.
They're very similar, yes.
But I do think you're always going to find some issues with it when you look into it closely enough. But as a whole, not that they couldn't improve, but as a whole, I think the SVC does a pretty good job with their all league.
No question. I'm glad you said that, Matt, because that's the point I want to make. The SVC really kind of sets the standard in Southeast Ohio when it comes to organization and the way we do some things. But I guess the point I was making, you mentioned the great job that basketball, boys, girls, and baseball, and softball, and some different. To be quite honest, I don't think volleyball has a good setup. And the shame of it is volleyball statewide and really from top to bottom is probably our best conference sport. And I just think there's some changes they could make. So, again, love to get people's feedback, be it fans, coaches, players, parents. Read that article. Let me know at admin1@svcsportzone.com what you think. And Matt, I want to shift gears here. Golf really was an exciting sport for SVC this year. And as it got to the postseason, it really capped off. We had the Westfall girls and Uniota boys reaching the state tournament. And it was a tough weekend for Uniota boys. I think they'd probably be the first to tell you they're a little bit disappointed with how they play. But I thought you did a good job last week, Matt, of describing just how tough the Scarlet course can be up there at Ohio State. And I know the problem with Forkham and Calvin Brown and Cushing and Hudson there for Uniota is they couldn't put the days together. Now, a couple of them struggled day one, where the other two, three play well, and then the next day they kind of went the other way. And it goes back a little bit of that depth I was talking about. So many times what they've been able to do in SVC play, where we play the sixth man, is their depth is so, so good in their program. They're able to get that one extra score, where a lot of people are just putting a sixth guy out there just because they're allowed to. Uniota's putting a guy out there that can be just as good as anybody. And maybe that catches up with them a little bit. But again, nothing to be ashamed of, obviously, when you reach the state level. And you can see the scores there on our golf page. Go to the golf headlines, and I give you different links to go to the OHSAA. On the girls' side, I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the features on our website. We use a Shout-O-Matic, which many fans know by now. You'll see a link right there at the top above our Herbie Strange logo. You'll see follow us on Shout-O-Matic. And this obviously includes golf as well. If you missed it, here was the shout Friday afternoon informing fans that Westfall was in the mix for a state title.
SVC fans, update from up at the state golf tournament. On the girls' side at the Gray Course, it was a great day for the Lady Mustangs of Westfall. Brianna Post shoots a 76, Sonny Stewart, 87, Aaron Roush, 92, Mary Roush, 95, Devonna Kaiser, 110. The top four scores count as your team score, and that 350 total was good enough for second place, as Westfall is just two shots off the pace being set by Sandusky Perkins. The teams will all return tomorrow and play 18 more holes. So best of luck to the Lady Mustangs as they go for a state championship in Division II girls golf.
Again, fans, you simply want to go to our homepage, svcsportzone.com, find the link above the Herbie Strange State Farm Insurance logo. And again, we thank Herbie for always sponsoring our Athletes of the Week. Find that logo, and you'll want to click on that. And basically, if you do not know, Shout-O-Matic is just basically Facebook, except I'm talking rather than typing. So you'll want to save that on your phone or on your computer or whatever you take with you. If you have the internet on your phone, you can have it right out there, football Friday nights or any other games as we get to the winter with basketball. And I'm going to keep you updated all night long. So you'll definitely want to check that out. You'll also see things you can hit for Facebook, our podcast show, our Twitter. There's so many different ways. So if you're not taking advantage of all those things, you're really kind of cheating yourself as an SVC fan. You'll also see in our sports coverage, soccer, Uniota boys, they fall for the first time 2-1 to a really good Lancaster team. But Uniota gets into tournament action now. Really expect good things for them. I know Zane Trace on senior night tied 3-3. Uniota girls picked up a win there at the end of the regular season. And I've noticed the growth of Adina and Python in their soccer program as they're starting to play a more complete schedule. It'll be interesting to find them too. Go to the soccer page. You'll find postseason brackets so that you can follow your favorite SVC team, or just as a fan of the league, you can kind of follow how they're doing. So, Matt, as we always do, we take a final look into the inbox, and actually it's Facebook. I wanted to get this the last week, and as I mentioned on the show, I didn't. So I wanted to make sure I got here in plenty of time this week so we could really give some of these questions their due. It's talking to me about updating some junior high football and volleyball standings, but then the one fan asked, how about some discussion on playing time in junior high sports? Play your best or play to win? Is it still about learning the game? It says, thanks, great show you put on. Well, Matt, I'll throw it straight to you here. You as a varsity coach, or you now as an AD, what would be your philosophy at the junior high level?
You know, what we tell our guys at the junior high, and I think you want, you're obviously trying to develop kids. It's not all about winning. But at the same time, you know, I don't agree with everybody plays equally philosophy because there are some kids that are better than others. That's a fact of life. And some of those kids are maybe better just because of their God-given abilities, but there's some that may be better because they've worked harder, you know, and I don't think just to say, okay, we're just going to sub five at a time and everybody plays equally is the answer. I would like to see at the junior high levels every kid get a little bit of playing time, if possible, each game, even if it's, you know, like say in basketball, for instance, even if it's 30 seconds at the end of a quarter, you know, just to keep kids involved and give them a little taste of it. But you know, at the same time, I don't think playing everybody equally is the answer. So get as many kids involved as you can. But at the same time, use a common sense approach, I think, where you do it in a way that's fair to everybody.
Well, Matt, when I read this question, and I guess people are probably, as soon as they hear Little League come out of my mouth, they're going to be like, oh, great, here goes Shane again on his Little League soapbox. But it's hard for me to talk about today's junior high philosophy without mentioning Little League. Little League, the landscape's changed so much that I think it's kind of changed the culture of junior high. You know, we're in this culture now where, if you think about it, we used to, at most schools, especially the bigger schools in the league, you would have a little league where you might have 30, 40, 50 kids from grades 3 through 6 playing. And yeah, you had a lot of kids that maybe hadn't been introduced to the game of volleyball or basketball or whatever it might be. But then time you got to junior high, you'd still have 20, 25 kids going out. I know even at some of the smaller schools, they were cutting 10 years ago at the junior high level. Now, what's happened is we're going out and we're hand-picking these kids in the 3rd, 4th, 5th grade, so it's kind of changed the landscape of junior high a little bit. They've already kind of come through a little bit of what you're talking about. I guess I've coached a year of junior high basketball. It's really just intriguing to me just to kind of be a part of it a little bit. And I can say at the basketball level, it's not that hard to play about 8 deep. In volleyball, it's probably not that hard to get 9 kids, maybe 10 in your rotation. So I agree with you. I think you can get a lot of different kids in. I too agree that you don't have to play everyone at the junior high level, although you do want to try to really have great practice time and try to get there. I think too many situations now have 7th and 8th grade trying to practice together in one gym in an hour and a half slot because little leagues need the gym, or we need this, or administration wants, you know, volleyball or basketball or whoever it might be out of the gym by 8 o'clock at night. And I think we're really cheating kids there, because I think what happens is, it's just like if you're trying to teach, you know, just like with you at your JV and varsity. I know some might practice together, but I'm sure that there's different levels of drill work and fundamentals that need to be taught. So same at the junior high level. So great question.
Yeah, Shane, not to interrupt you, but let me hit you with this real quick too. I just to add on to that. I think, you know, my assistant coach and I, about 3 or 4 years ago, I think, maybe even 5 years ago, it's been a while, but we sat down and we really looked. We grabbed the old team pictures, you know, from junior high, and we said, okay, which kids started on this team in junior high? And then where did they end up when they got to the varsity level? And it may not be this way in every program, but in our program, we were finding that less than 50% of junior high starters ever even made the varsity team.
Wow.
Now think about that. Less than half, either they quit playing, or they got hurt, or they didn't grow, or they became ineligible academic, whatever, you know. But what we were finding was only a couple starters off of each junior high team ended up being varsity contributors. So you have to be careful not to just put all your eggs in that one basket. And I think that's what you're talking about when you start talking about handpicking kids early on. You cannot, I don't care how good a coach you think you are, you cannot tell how good a kid's going to be in the fourth, fifth, sixth grade necessarily. You know, you're not going to bat a very high batting average if you start predicting five, six, seven kids in a class at that age group, because invariably there's going to be somebody, come up. I can remember when I was in high school, there's a guy by the name of Dan Cox. Some people might remember, started on our state tournament team at Uniota. He almost got cut in the eighth grade. I can still to this day remember Ron Neff telling me, who was our junior high basketball coach, telling me years later after I graduated high school, you don't know how close we came to cutting Dan. You know, he almost didn't make the team. And he was starting in St. John Arena 4 years later. So you can't, you know, you have to be careful, I think, at those younger levels not to give up on a kid too early or think too highly of a kid yet. You know, see how they pan out.
Well, Matt, here's another point. You mentioned Dan, who I obviously know very well, the situation you're talking about. It kind of goes with my next point. What I would encourage junior high parents and coaches to be aware of is the importance of keeping kids involved at the freshman JV level. You know, we're kind of in a society. I talked about the Allie Fletchner comment earlier with the Zane Trace championship team where she was the JV player and she was saying it was an honor to be on the team. That's old school. You know, we kind of are in a culture now where, you know, I'm too cool to play JV. You mean you want me to play on the JV team? I'm not good enough for varsity yet? Well, I just quit. I mean, you're talking about big schools last year in girls basketball playing two quarters of JV or not even having a JV team, period.
Right.
So the overall culture of junior varsity has kind of lost itself. Obviously, without a freshman and JV level, Dan Cox never gets to that point by his junior year. So
yeah.
I would encourage parents to really sell the fact of keep the kid involved, and then by the time they get to that sophomore, junior year, yeah, maybe at that point they're able to make a better decision. But I just think you can quit on it too much in that eighth, ninth grade year. Great discussion, Matt. And the only reason I want to move on is before we get out of here this week, I wanted to go back to the inbox in response to last week. And fans, if you missed any shows, all you have to do is go to the DBK website. You can get there right off of our homepage, and it's where most of you are listening to the show. I know there's other forms of getting to the show, but again, just go to our website, hit the DBK Media Service, and hit the SVC Sports Talk will take you there as well, and you'll see the past shows, and it's in the final segment of last week's show. And Matt, we were talking Uniota football. Someone had sent something in, and they were sending something to me and you here, and I was saying, I thought you guys handled the Uniota football question well last week. I think an interesting comment to get from both of you would be the factors or reasons, and he says, other than you both being soft, LOL, you never played football at Uniota. He says, you were both good athletes. I know you love basketball, but if I'm not mistaken, you never even played in junior high. Thanks, love the you, and love your show. And Matt, as I read that, I kind of just take it as was maybe just trying to give us a factor of growing up, maybe why we didn't, and maybe speculate on why some other people didn't as well. How would you respond to that?
Well, I tell you, it hurts being called soft. You know, I've only recently become soft, okay? The older I get, the softer I get. But no, I tell you, I thought about this question when we talked about it off the air before coming on. You know, the thing about it is, it's a little bit of what we talked about last week. I don't know that when I was in school, and you'll have to speak to how you felt, you know, a few years later, Shane, but when I was in school, I don't know that we had that culture that we talk about of football being important or big. You know, it was important to the kids that played, don't get me wrong, and the coaches that coached, but I don't know that it was the type of atmosphere that attracted, you know, kids that were sort of on the bubble whether they wanted to play or not. You know, there were years that I kind of thought, you know, I think I'd like to play football. Maybe I should. I don't know. You know, and at that time, there was nothing in the program that really pushed me over the edge. And I wasn't alone because I thought about, you know, a lot of the guys I played basketball with or did other things with that were good athletes didn't play football either. And it undoubtedly probably hurt the program some not to have some of those kids. But I think it was the same thing. You know, it was like, there wasn't anything magnetic about it. You know what I mean? That drew us to it. And if you didn't grow up playing football and really being a diehard football guy, you know, because I think that's what we were talking about. When you're running a football program, you're going to get the guys that have played football their whole life that just love it. You know, but to be good at the high school level and get those numbers, you probably have to attract those athletes that maybe are kind of on the fence. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
And I don't feel like at that time at Uniota that was happening. You can speak to it. I know when you were a senior, they got a pretty dynamic guy in there at that time, and things changed a little bit. But even leading up to that, wouldn't you agree that it just wasn't quite that way?
Well, you're right with the coaching changes and things like that. This shows I'm getting old. I believe my senior class played for 3 different football coaches in 4 years, and you just never did quite have the connection. I remember growing up in basketball camp and different things like that. But, you know, we were talking different culture things on last week's Answer, Matt, and I got to thinking with me being at Paint Valley all these years now, if we grow up one school district over at Paint Valley, and as much as we are in the sports, I have a hard time thinking that we probably don't at least get introduced to football a little bit in junior high or things like that. So it could be a little bit of a culture thing in terms of kind of what is pushed in the community in terms of the coaching longevity and some things like that. So I think it's a great question. I think it's a fair question. I wish I could give a little bit more. I know I ended up running some cross country, and then golf had ended up becoming an SVC sport and was fortunate enough to play as a varsity role player on 2 back-to-back SVC champion teams. So I don't regret any of the decisions. But again, great question, fair question, and we encourage fans to always send those in. admin1@svcsportzone.com, as well as Facebook. I am Shane Combs, svcsportzone.com, or we also have just an svcsportzone.com page. You can hit the like us right there off of our website, and you'll get all of our Shout-O-Matic links. You'll get all of the different things we post article-wise. So just please get involved. Obviously, when the fans get involved, it makes our podcast grow as it has here in Season 2, and we really appreciate that. So until next time, for the great people at Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for DBK Media Services, and for my co-host, Matt Combs, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.